The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Well, what a beautiful morning. Thank you so much, Pastor Glenn, for having me come back and share with you guys. And no, I don't have the barbecue this time, thank God. During my 4 years at Light FM, we cooked over 7,000 sausages. And you know, like when you go down to Bunnings on a Saturday morning and you like the sausage smell? It's taken me about 2 years to get that nice smell and actually like the smell of sausages back again. But I just want to open in prayer if you don't mind. God, thank you so much, Lord, for a beautiful morning. Thank you so much for your presence that's so strong here this morning, Lord God. Father, thank you for an awesome time of worship and an incredible time of communion. Lord, I just pray that you speak to us this morning, God. Help me to get out of your way, Lord. And I just pray that you have your way here this morning. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it really is a privilege to come and share with you about our ministry. I work for Christians Against Poverty. And CAP, for short, is an incredible ministry that's having such a huge impact all over Australia. We're also in the UK, in New Zealand, and we recently opened in Canada as well. And it's an interesting ministry that's not found really anywhere in the mainstream world or the Christian world. So what we are is we're a charity, we're a Christian charity that helps people get out of debt. And you know, you don't have to look very far to realize that there are a lot of people struggling in terms of their finances, and the ease of borrowing, the ease of living outside of your means is it's a message that's highly pushed in media. Today you can watch TV and see a new ad for a short-term loan company popping up every single week, and they're trapping people. They're targeting people who aren't handling their money in a good way and are desperate, and so they'll just reach at anything that pops out. And God has risen up this ministry called CAP to help people in that situation. You know, we don't judge. We're not there to condemn anyone for the choices they made financially. We're there to take them on a journey, lead them back to a place where they can honor God with their money. Now, it's always a bit tricky when I get up and talk in church. And I had a gentleman one time, basically he had his arms crossed like that for about the first half an hour of my message, because I talk about money in church. And his opinion was, here's another person talking about money. Now, what I'm not going to do this morning is tell you how to get rich. I'm not going to tell you that there's a secret to it all other than what God has to say about it. Everything I talk to you about this morning is just simply God doing what God does through an organization with a bunch of Christians who said, yeah, Lord, we want to help the poor and the lost, and we're doing that through helping them out financially. So the numbers and the figures and the stories you hear this morning are not CAP. It's God doing what God does with just a bunch of faithful people who said, yeah, Lord, we want to do what you have asked us to do. What I am going to talk this morning about, and really the underlying part of my message when I'm talking about finances, is stewardship. You know, it's not about how much you make, whether you make a lot or you make a little. It's what you're doing with what God's given you. Are you being a good steward? You know, are you giving faithfully to the church? Are you sowing into international ministries, into local ministries? Are you sowing into this body of Christ that is, you know, having an impact here in Springvale? You know, in Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender." You know, it's a pretty interesting statement. Every time you think about using your credit card or using any kind of loan system, it says in Proverbs there that the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is a servant to the lender. So every time you're in debt to someone, you become a servant. Now, another word in another translation says that you become a slave. And so no one likes to think that they're in slavery or in bondage, but, you know, technically to the what God's saying there, that's exactly what's happening. You know, so why talk about money in church? You know, the Word of God has a lot to say about money or possessions. In fact, 2/3 of Jesus' parables dealt with money and possessions. 1 in 10 verses in the Bible, right across the Bible, are talking about money. Over 2,300 verses right across the Bible are talking about money. Now, that's 5 times as many Bible verses talking about money than prayer or talking about faith. 5 times more. Now, obviously, Jesus knew that there was something to this area of money and possessions and finance. And we really believe, I really believe, that it can be such a strong measure of the condition of your heart when we look at your finances. Now, again, get my heart this morning. I'm not here to condemn you at all. All I'm here to do is motivate you to go, look, I need to start thinking about how we handle our finances better. Are we being a good steward with what we've got? Jesus also said in Luke 16, verse 20 to 13, says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy in handling someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? It says in verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Another word for money there is mammon. And what mammon is actually it's a spirit. It's a spirit of wealth, but the desire to seek wealth for inward purposes. So basically, Jesus is saying here, you can't serve both God and this desire to be wealthy. Now, there is nothing wrong at all with being wealthy. I know I've plenty of Christian friends that God has blessed immeasurably almost. And there's nothing wrong with that. What is wrong with it is what they do with the finances after God has blessed them. And most of those people I know, it came back to that verse in the verse 10 there. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. Now, God wants to trust you with much, but he needs to work out that you can be trusted with little first. Now, that's not just in finances. That's right across the board. Like relationships. That should be like priority number one in any kind of relationship, whether it be a marriage or a friendship. Can you be trusted with very little? Can your friends trust you with, you know, confidentiality and things like that, and to be there when they need you? If they can, they're going to trust you with more and more, and that's how a friendship or particularly a marriage works. But more so, like what we're saying here is you're in your finances. God wants to trust you with a lot, but you need to be trusted with little first. As I said, our main issue in Australia today is not how much we're making. It's what we're doing with what God has given us. One of the key things, there's 2 points to Christians Against Poverty, 2 things that we equip the church to do. One of those is called our CAP Money Budgeting Course. It's a really simple course, and I've been speaking with Glenn. We'd love to get it off the ground here in the church. And what it is a 3-week course teaching people how to budget, how to put together a very simple budget, but also how to make it workable in your life. Anybody can download a spreadsheet or a budget off the internet, but what we're trying to teach is how do you live within your means? How do you actually save up for the things that you need rather than instantly just chucking it on the card? Now, I'm not anti-credit card, but I'm anti-credit card. I'm a bit of a budgeting freak. I love that my wife and I just went on a trip overseas, and we budgeted every single day for how much we would be able to spend. And we stuck to the budget. We actually came in under, which is odd that we went to LA and we didn't spend all of our money, which we probably could have. But, you know, we've learned to budget. We've learned to live within our means. And that's what we're trying to teach on the CAP Money course. We're going to teach you how to implement a budget. We're going to teach you how to set up your account so that you're paying the bills on time. Every time the electricity bill or the phone bill comes in, you've set money aside for those things. Maybe you like to go out for a coffee with the fellas or the ladies once a week. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, but what you want to do is try and set money aside. You want to budget for that, so it's when you're buying things, it's not coming at the expense of, you know, the household budget and, you know, having to miss out on other things. And what we want to do is we teach people how to live with cash again. You know that paper stuff that we used to put in our wallets? It's called cash, and it actually does work when you learn how to use cash. I read in a book that they surveyed McDonald's in America, and they found that customers that used their credit cards when they went to McDonald's spent 47% more than people that went in with cash. And so you can easily understand, if you had $10 and you were heading down to McDonald's for lunch today, you had a $10 note and that's all you had, that's all you have to spend. You know that you've got $10 to spend, but if you have your balance on your FPOS card or your credit card and that's the way you live, you know, maybe you skipped breakfast and you're going to go for the upsize meal and you're going to add a sundae and a coffee and an apple pie. Do that a couple times a month and it starts to add up. Same when you go to the grocery store. You know, if you've got a set amount of money that you want to spend your groceries on, you make a list and you spend that cash. Otherwise, you spend more than what you had budgeted for. When it comes to being faithful with tithing and offering in church, a lot of my friends, I hear it all the time. They say, Tim, I'd just love to be more faithful. I just can't afford it. And I say, okay, let me sit down and put a budget together for you and have a look at where their money's going. And I can see that, unfortunately, tithing doesn't become a priority in some Christians' lives. So we can sit down and we put it in the budget and say, okay, look, you know, you're giving $110 a month to Foxtel, but you can't afford to tithe. Maybe there's something a little bit where we need to change. Maybe you can't quite afford the Foxtel. Don't say you can't afford the tithing. Make tithing the priority of what you do. But you can budget for it so that you can be faithful, so you're not having to miss out on those other things, but put it in the budget. You know, we've only been running Cap Money for 3 years here in Australia, and we've seen over 3,000 people go through the Cap Money course. There's about 400 churches around Australia that run our course. And we've had 95% of the people that come on the course said it was life-changing for their circumstance. And as I said, we'd love to get the Cap Money course up and running. So if it's something you feel passionate about doing, we have some training days here in Melbourne, see Pastor Glenn or myself and let us know that you'd love to get the course running here. But we didn't just write the Cap Money course for Christians. We wrote it as an outreach opportunity for the church. What an awesome chance for us to run a course or an outreach here in the church to invite our friends and family along to. Maybe you've been looking for something to invite your friends to church. Hey, we run a free cap course, a free budgeting course. Who wouldn't want help from a free budgeting course? And then when they come on those 3 weeks, you know, who knows what might happen after that? They get to know some people. They see a sign for another event happening in the church, and all of a sudden they connect. And we just might see them come back and build relationship here with the church. And so we're really excited about Cap Money. And I really urge you to do something in the area of stewardship with your finances. Take back control. Don't let your money control you. Put a budget together. Learn how to live within your means. Save up for things. Use your credit card less. It really is easy. And you can actually get by in this world without a credit card. We have Visa debit cards, so if you do online purchases, you can do that where you use your own money. You're not using somebody else's money. As it said there in Proverbs, you know, the borrower is a servant to the lender. Don't be a servant to anybody. And that way you can be a lot more faithful in your giving. You know, but there are a lot of families out there in Australia, as I said before, that have, you know, the temptation to live beyond their means has become a bit too great and have ended up in an area where their debt, their personal debt level is so high that they're unable to get by themselves. Well, about 18 years ago in the UK, a guy by the name of John Kirkby started Christians Against Poverty. And I've brought along copies of John's book today. It's a free copy. I'll explain a bit later how you can get a free copy. But John started CAP out of his own life being absolutely devastated by debt and the misery associated with debt. John was a successful guy in the finance industry in the UK, and made a few poor decisions and ended up losing everything. Lost his job, lost his marriage, lost all of his friends, and really experienced what it was to be poor. When he was poor, when he lost his home, his friends bailed on him. They literally, he lost all of his friends. They didn't want anything to do with him. And in a local church in Bradford in the UK were out there on the street, not just in church, but they're out there on the street doing what God asked them to do, and they found John and led him to the Lord. And at the depths of, you know, the lowest he could go, he found the Lord. And as he started to develop his relationship with the Lord, he really got a heart to go back and to help people who were in that same situation. Now, John, through his own expertise, was able to get himself out of debt. But he realized in that time that there's just nowhere for the poor to turn to when things have gone bad. And so through his local church, he started this ministry called Christians Against Poverty, simply helping one family at a time, talking with their creditors, negotiating for a suitable repayment plan, and setting a budget and taking those people on a journey to get them debt-free. And I just want to read out a little bit of a snippet from John's book here. It was basically a diary that he kept while getting going on this journey. But it says here, May the 3rd, 1997, 10:30 a.m. Yesterday morning, Saturday, just as we were setting off for a day out with the girls, the phone rang. It was the same credit card collection company. The lady on the other end of the phone simply carried on where they'd left off last time they'd spoken to me, and she simply demanded more money. As I explained my plight, and at the end of each exchange, she simply stated that $20 per month was not enough. I explained that I was on a very low income, not eligible for any benefits, and had been paying without missing for 5 years. Even when I explained that I was facing losing my home over the next few weeks, I had no regular income, and that I was running a Christian charity working to help the poor, she simply said, "More money or we will take you to court." I know that I've been totally honourable in all of my financial affairs. However, this lady made me feel like dirt. Not for the first time throughout the last 5 years, her attitude and threats almost brought me to my knees. What was I supposed to do? I have to admit, I finally lost it. I couldn't talk to this lady, and the feelings of helplessness, injustice, and vulnerability were too much to bear. I had to ask her to call me on Tuesday when I was able to speak to her better, and I must admit, I just put the phone down. You know, what John said there, those feelings of helplessness, injustice, and vulnerability. Now, that's something we hear every single day at Christians Against Poverty. Every week, we have hundreds of people calling us for help. And they're in that desperate situation where they have nowhere else to turn, and no one's there to help them. And when they call us, we're able to say, "Yeah, we can help you." And we send out one of our people from the churches that we partner with, and they sit in their lounge room for 2-3 hours at a time. Usually that first 45 minutes when one of our people go out to someone's home, it's just spent listening to their story. People just want someone to hear what they've gone through. And when it's someone from a Christian church that absolutely loves them and is there to listen to them, you know, we just see breakthrough in people's lives. So what does CAP do? Well, we're a holistic provider of debt management solution. You know, we're Australia's only charity debt management company. Australia's only. There's no one doing simple debt management like we do in the Christian world or in the mainstream world. And I'm so blessed that God allows a Christian organization to do that. You know, we're unashamedly interested in seeing two things happen in the people's lives that we go out and see. We want to see them set free from their financial situation, set free from the debt. But more so, we want to give people eternal hope. We want to present to them that there's a God that loves them regardless of the choices they've made. We like to call ourselves evangelists who do world-class debt management, not the other way around. So evangelism is key to what we do. I heard a Salvation Army officer say, if we feed the poor and we clothe the needy, but we don't tell them about Jesus, all we're doing is giving them a comfortable ride to hell. That's a pretty full-on statement if you think about it. If we don't tell people about Jesus, you know, yes, we have to clothe people and we have to help the poor, and we're going to discover this inscription a little bit later. But we need to tell them about Jesus. There's no greater social justice on the planet Earth than leading someone to the Lord. And so that's what we do first and foremost. Now, when we go to see someone, we're not forceful. Everything we do evangelism-wise is invitational. We ask if we can pray for them. We invite them to church things. A couple of times a year, the churches will run a pamper night or a barbecue and invite the clients down. And if the clients are closed to the things of God, hey, it's not going to change anything. We're still going to love them. We're still going to bless them. We're still going to get them debt-free as quickly as we can. And we only do CAP through the local church because we want to empower the church to go out and reach the community and to bless people and to change the community's mind about what the church is like. A lot of people have no idea what the inside of a church looks like, you know, but I'm not really concerned about what the inside of a church looks out like. I'm concerned about what, you know, what the church looks like when we go out of here on a Sunday, Monday to Friday. How does the church look to the community? And so we can provide that. We can provide an avenue for the church to be able to be seen in the community, to be helping people out. And then when someone gives us a call, they'll go through to our head office in Newcastle, and our team will sit on the phone with them for about half an hour just to find out their story, connect with them a little bit, and then we book an appointment for one of those people in the church, like I said, to go out and visit them. What a privilege that people call a Christian organization and say, "Can you please come to my home and help me?" How many other Christian organizations have that? Not many. And we're blessed that God allows us to go and sit in people's homes. We have roughly 40 churches that run what we call a debt center around the country. And we're currently working with about 900 families around Australia at the moment. Through those 900 families, that equates to about $22 million of unsecured debt. Now, to give you an idea of unsecured versus secure, secure is a home or a car. So if you don't pay that loan, they simply just come and take your home or take your car. Unsecured debt is all credit debt, credit loans, credit cards, all those kinds of things. So we're handling over $22 million of unsecured debt. For our clients, we're paying roughly $400,000 a month. Now, CAP does not pay a cent of our clients' money. We just manage their income for them, their disposable income that they can put towards their debts to get that debt paid down. Not to this day have we ever paid a cent for a client's debt. But we help them to get themselves out of debt. And that's so empowering for our clients to have that service available to them. But God's heart for the poor, you know, what's God saying here? And what, you know, what's his mandate to the church? If you have your Bible, I'd get you just to turn to Matthew 25. Now, if you're ever wondering what God's call on your life is or what you should be doing for the Lord, this is your scripture, and this is prophesying to you. And if you don't want to know what God wants you to do, don't read this scripture. It's a pretty tough one. But it's basically the parable. Some might know it as the sheep and the goats. And it's the last thing that Jesus said, the last main parable he gave before he began his journey to the cross. And I believe there's no more emphasis that God could have put on our mandate as Christians to help the poor and the lost. It says in verse 31, it says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" Verse 35, "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will say to the Lord, 'When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and come to visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, whenever you did this for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you were doing it for me.'" I love that. Every time we go and do something very, very simple for someone, God's saying, you're doing it for me. You know, and it says at the start of the verse there that he's going to separate the people. So when he comes and he sits on his throne, he's going to separate people and say to the people on the right, come take your inheritance. You know, I believe that CAP is a 21st century expression of meeting these needs that God has called us to do. It said, therefore, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Roughly 67% of the clients that we go out and visit are missing meals, with one in four doing so regularly. Now, these are stats from here in Australia. This is our own information from the way our clients have told us. 67% of our clients are missing meals. And I said, we're 25% actually having no food in their home when we arrive to help them. So when we put a budget together for these families, we prioritize the cost of living. We prioritize food in their budget so that they can feed the kids. We have countless testimonies of mums telling us that they would miss meals to make sure that their kids could have, you know, food on their plate. Jesus also said there, I was in prison and you came to visit me. You know, debt is isolating. I don't know if you've ever been in that position where the debt's a bit beyond what you can imagine, but it bogs you down. It makes you think that you're the only person in the world that's struggling with this. It makes you turn away from friends, from family, from church. You know, and so it puts people in prison. Clients have told us that they would hide from, you know, they wouldn't answer the door. They wouldn't answer mail. One of our guys told us that he'd get home from work and, you know, the letters would come every single day from the creditors. And he just got to a point where he just couldn't, he was so overwhelmed with it. So what he would do after work, he'd get home, he'd get his rubbish bin, go to the letterbox and simply sweep all the mail into the bin. And it's not that he didn't want to pay his debts or he was trying to get away from his responsibility. It was just he didn't know how. And it was just so overwhelming for him. He actually got to the point where he was considering taking his own life. You know, one in three, 30% of our clients have said that that's what they either attempted or considered taking their life before coming to see us. And that's just tragic. 85% of our clients say that they live in fear every single day. Can you imagine waking up every single day with the fear of not knowing what's going to happen today, whether the car's going to be taken, whether the house is going to be taken, whether you're going to be booted out of your accommodation? 85% of our clients say they live there every single day. 45% actually had to visit the GP due to debt-related stress, with 75% actually prescribed medication for stress. You know, it's not being prescribed medication for an illness or a virus that you pick up. That's the stress associated with being in that level of debt. You know, one in four couples in Australia break up because of a financial reason. It's the number one reason for divorce in Australia. You know, if we can keep one marriage together through the work of CAP, we're doing our job. If we can just keep them from, you know, parting and you know, I've known in my life, it's taken my wife and I, we just celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary at the start of this month, which is just brilliant. Thank you. But, you know, we got there the hard way. We got there the hard way. I wish I'd found CAP 15 years ago. I wish we'd done a budget when we first got married. But I didn't. And so we went through all the pain and stuff, that just the arguments that you go with financial things. Sorry, I heard that music and I thought, oh, is my time up? Sort of, you know, when the keyboarder gets up and someone's been preaching too long. But, you know, I'm so excited that God allows us to do what we do. That God allows CAP to go into people's lives and to see a transformation. And that's what we're looking for in someone's life, is just we want to see change. Whether it be them coming, you know, getting debt free. And last year, 250 of our clients became 100% debt free. We were able to make that call to them and say, guess what? You now have no more debt. I've seen young couples in their 20s with credit debt well over $100,000. And it's just, I don't understand how they've been allowed to get in that level of debt. where along the line did one of the creditors go, hang on, but that's, you know, I don't want to get off on it at the moment, but, you know, how awesome it is that they called CAP one day. They called a Christian organisation and said, can you please come and help me? And we're able to take them on the journey and see them debt-free. At our head office in Newcastle, we have a big red fire bell. And it's one of the old school fire bells, a round one that's got a handle and you wind it. And every single time, one of the 40 churches that we partner with calls us and says, someone came to the Lord, someone made a decision through the CAP ministry. Our team, we stop and we ring that fire bell. And all of our staff at head office in Newcastle, there's 30-odd staff up there, everybody stops for 10 minutes and we pray and celebrate that salvation. But how awesome is it that we're celebrating salvations? You know, the Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing over one person that finds the Lord. And so, you know, you rest assured that a couple of times a week there's 30 people in Newcastle celebrating over those salvations. And since we started CAP in 2001 here in Australia, we've rung the fire bell just over 1,050 times. Wow. Isn't that awesome? And if you're ever in Newcastle, please stop by our head office and say hi to people, but pray the salvation bell rings. I actually had a pastor who was a bit of a mathematician, and he said, do you know how many hours of work every year you're missing out on because of you stopping for salvations? And we're like, yeah, we sure do. It's unproductive. And you know, sometimes the bell can ring five times a day. And if 30 people are stopping for 10 minutes, but you know what? That's time we're investing. You know, that's God time. That's celebrating why we do what we do. Without those salvations, without the evangelism side of what CAP does, we wouldn't do what we do. If we weren't able to go out there and ask if we can pray for people, we wouldn't do CAP. Yeah, it's great to help the poor and to see people, you know, get that help. But if we're not telling them about Jesus, as I said before, we need to, we need to be telling about God. You know, it actually goes on in the Bible, if you've still got your finger on that Bible verse. And this is the challenging part. You know, we learned that Jesus said he would turn to the people on his right and say, come and take your inheritance. It says in verse 41 there of Matthew 25, then the king will turn to those on his left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothes. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't come to visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we see these things? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. Now, that's pretty full on. That's a pretty full on statement there. So it's basically, you know, saying that, you know, when you turn from someone, when you walked past that person on the street that said, hey, have you got a buck? If you get a dollar I can have, and you turn from them, you're turning away from Jesus. A really good friend of mine, we were talking about this, and he was downtown one night. He had to go to someone's 30th birthday party, and he had $50 for his dinner, and he was waiting to catch a tram, and this homeless guy came up to him and, you know, just, you know, reeked and smelt bad and was in a mess, and the guy just said, mate, have you got any money? And Ben only had a $50 note in his hand. And Ben just said, look, nah, man, sorry. And then instantly he got convicted straight away. And he turned to the guy and said, actually, man, here you go. Here's my $50. And that's what Ben needed to go to this party. And I forget what he did for the rest of the night. And Ben, we were talking about it the next day. And Ben just, he said, what convicted him was that homeless guy real? Now, I've sort of stepping into the spooky spiritual room here, was that an angel? Was that God sending someone just to test Ben's heart? And from that day, Ben's generosity just went through the roof from that one act. He said no to start off with, but then God said, hey, you know, you're more than blessed. Bless this guy. And so, you know, it might not be, you know, giving lots and lots of money away to somebody. It could be, you know, we've heard of people in the hospital. Members of the congregation here, just maybe you could just pop down and say hi. They missed communion this morning. Could you take them a little bit of juice and just go and sit and have communion with them? Is there someone you know who doesn't have many friends? Can you take them out for coffee? Go and bake them a cake. If you're, you know, baking That's your thing. You know, whatever it might be, there's lots of things you can do. Maybe you're an employer. You know, once a month, grab one of your employees and just go and take them out for coffee. Go and say, how are you going? When's the last time you invited someone to church? You know, it doesn't take much. And, you know, we're always fearful that they're going to say no, but that's the worst that can happen, is that they'll say no. None of my friends have actually stopped liking me because I invited them to church and they said no. You know, they'll just, you just keep asking them, asking them all the time. But at least we're doing something to help the lost and the poor. And I just thank God that, you know, he allows CAP, just one ministry. There are thousands of great Christian ministries, but I'm just here to talk to you about CAP, that God allows CAP to do what we do every single day. We equip the church to meet the mandate here in Matthew 25, to go out and to feed those people, to clothe them, to visit them in that prison that they're in, to give them something to eat, to teach them how to manage their finances that they can then teach their kids so the kids don't make the same mistakes they make. You know, I'm really passionate about what we do, but I can't tell the story as great as one of our clients. So I've prepared a video. If I can get the guys to play this video, it's DVD, just of Nicole's story.
So my partner left me when I was pregnant with my fourth child, and there'd been quite a bit of domestic violence, and he had a drug problem and a gambling problem, and so he was intimidating me to give him money constantly. There'd been occasions where I'd had to call the police, and I was quite frightened of him, and he, you know, started threatening the physical safety of my children, and because I was frightened of him and I just wanted to make him go away, I would just give him the money. And finally he intimidated me into giving him the password to my credit card. When I ran out of money, he left because I was no longer of any use to him, despite the fact that we had two children together. And I was also living in my dad's one-bedroom unit with three children, and I was pregnant with my fourth. And my dad, because he wasn't getting any rental from the property, was putting a lot of pressure on me to move out, so I had the prospect of being homeless with four children. I felt like that they were going to look at me and go, oh my God, our mother's so useless. And the opinion of my children was so important to me because, you know, I wanted to be a good role model for them. It was just a very depressing, upsetting, horrible time. Saw an advertisement that a lady was going to be talking about budgeting. She gave me the telephone number for CAP up at Newcastle, and I just went straight home and rang them straight away. Suddenly I had a partner that was helping me manage the debt. My original debt was forecasted at 7 years. I worked within the budget. I strictly followed the budget that they gave me, but I've actually managed to become debt-free in 16 months, which is just awesome. And for 3 weeks after my CAP advisor rang me and said, you are now officially debt-free, you could not wipe the smile off my face for the longest time. I was just absolutely euphoric. When my debt counsellor, Nicola, came back to give me my budget, she said to me, well, how about you come to church with me this Sunday? And when the pastor made the altar call, I just knew he was speaking directly to me. So I had no hesitation. I just went straight down the front and said the prayer of salvation. And I actually silently said to myself in my head, this is what you have been looking for your entire life. Your entire search for meaning in your life is right here, right now. And it's just been the best thing that I ever did. And I have solidly and committedly gone to church every weekend. To be able to walk with God and not do this on my own, especially as a single parent, has just made life just so much easier. I've just felt a sense of peace that I've never had in my life, and I can just move forward in love. Like, I just feel so loved and supported now.
Twelve months ago, Nicole belongs to a church the North Shore of Sydney who run a debt centre. And 12 months ago, Nicole actually trained to be one of the people that we send out to be our centre manager. So what an awesome transformation from, you know, being in a single mum's group, not knowing anything about being a Christian, being so overwhelmed in debt, to getting debt-free. We projected a seven-year term for her to go debt-free. And did you catch that? She went debt-free in 16 months. That's just nuts. And so when I went up to Nicole at our staff conference this year and asked for my photo, if I could take a photo with her, she was so happy. And, you know, that's what we're seeing. That's what we're trying to see, is the transformation in people's lives. Now, I'm going to challenge you to do something. I don't want this to be another Sunday morning where you come along, you hear an okay message, and you don't leave challenged to do something. But this morning you are going to be challenged. Firstly, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to grab a copy of John's book. I've got plenty of copies. They're absolutely free. And as you heard before, it's a simple diary that John kept while birthing this ministry. And it will challenge you. It will challenge your faith. It will challenge your relationship with the Lord. It will challenge your desire to want to serve God. And I really encourage you to grab a free copy of that. All I ask you to do is, on your seat is a little communication card here. All you need to do is fill in the front part of that card just with your contact details. And all we'll do is we'll just send you out our quarterly newsletter, keep you up to date with how the ministry is going. You won't get bombarded with a whole bunch of stuff, but we just want to be able to connect with you. So you just need to fill out the form, bring it over the table, and I'll give you a free copy of John's book. And hopefully after you read it, you pass it on to somebody else who you really believe needs to read it as well. I have no idea what happened in my first copy. I'm hoping it's doing the rounds of a few people. So fill out the card, come up and grab a free copy of the book. Next, I want to, on your way out, to make sure you grab one of our flyers here. It's just struggling with debt. Now, when we open a debt centre, and we've done that just up the road at Noble Park Christian Church, who this church is in good relationship with, Pastor David Owen there, through the Dandenong Ministers Fellowship, which I think is just an incredible incredible Ministers Fellowship. So we can help people in your community right now who are struggling with debt. So what you can do, even if you don't know someone, take one of these brochures and put it on your fridge. And then next time you hear someone at work, one of your friends or your family, just talking about how bad their financial situation is, give them the brochure. They'll just call the 1-300 number and we'll be able to help them. We'll be able to get them the help that they're after. Also, if you would like to be a part of helping the guys at Noble Park with their debt centre, helping them go and visit clients, just let Pastor Glenn know, and he will connect you through to Noble Park. You know, I just want to cast our vision for CAP, just so you can be praying for us. You know, our vision is that we want to see over 1,000 churches running the CAP Money Course, and we want to see 150 debt centres operating throughout Australia. This will mean that no matter where an Australian lives, or anyone living in Australia, will have access to free debt help, a free budgeting course being run by a local church that loves them. You know, the story, like Nicole's story and some of the other stats I've shown you, are just something that we hear every single day at Christians Against Poverty. And we're compelled to partner with more churches because we're having to turn away hundreds of families every single year that don't have a church working with CAP in their area. You know, all the latest survey results are out showing that 1 in 8 Australians live in poverty. 1 in 8 Australians, and that's over 660,000 children, live in a home that's deemed as living in poverty. Debt is a major and relevant issue in society today. But more importantly, the community is full of people who don't know Jesus. And if the church is not going to go out and tell them, how are they going to know about that? The last thing I'm going to challenge you to do is to partner as a personal partner with CAP on a monthly level. You know, every single dollar counts. And I'm unashamed to ask every single person here to consider becoming what we call a life changer. When you partner with us on a monthly level, we call you a life changer, and a life changer for a reason. If you partner with us in this, well, basically by the end of this year, we'll have seen 1,000 families visited in their homes. We'll see 800 families begin their transformational journey with us. We're going to see over 300 families get that phone call to say, hey, guess what, you're debt-free. We see hundreds of miracles and healings every single year. And we're really praying that this year, by the end of December, we'll have rung the salvation bell over 150 times this year. And we're really believing for it. Now, a life changer is simply saying, Tim, yeah, 10 bucks a month, and we want to support you. And we often say that, you know, we'd prefer to have 10 people partnering at $10 a month than one person giving 100. Because that's 10 people we've got that are passionate about seeing their community reached, seeing people set free in their financial situation. For us, it's not about the money. It's about getting people to understand their finances and to go out and tell the world about Jesus. Now, if you have the capacity for $100 a month, please tick that amount, but just $10 a month. Seriously, that's two cups of coffee a month that you just need to give up to partner with CAP. Now, if you'd like to do that, all you need to do at the bottom of the card here that you've filled out to grab a free book is a little box to say, yeah, I'm also going to partner. Just tick that box. You don't need to fill out your payment details on the back of the card if you don't want to today. What I'll do is one of our girls from head office will give you a call during the week and you can just let them know what the best payment method is for you to set that up. So that's Christians Against Poverty, and I love that God allows us to do what we do. As you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about it, but I'm passionate about God. I'm passionate about the local church. Yes, I love overseas missions. We have sponsored children. I can't wait to take my kids on a mission trip. But my heart is for local missions. My heart is for the church to reach their community, to bless them and to take them on a transformational journey, whether that is keeping a marriage together, keeping a family together, getting them debt-free, seeing them come to the altar here and make a decision for the Lord. You know, that's what we all should be really passionate about, and it's about helping the lost as well, as we heard about in Matthew. So just before I close, I'd just like to pray, and then I'll hand back over to Pastor Glenn. God, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you for just the challenge that you've given to us, Lord, to feed the people who need food, to give drink to those who are thirsty, to visit those in prison, God. And it's so easy to do. It's not a hard thing, God, but I thank you for that's the mandate and the challenge you've given to us all. Lord, help us all in our personal financial situation to be good stewards of what you've given to us, Lord. To be good stewards of our church, to be good stewards of our relationships. Just be good employees in our workplace. God, I just thank you for the rest of today. I thank you for this church and the impact they're having here in Springvale South. And I just pray that impact continues, Lord, and you bless this church mightily. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springvale South Church, please visit our website at www.springvallesouthchurch.org.au.